Hello and welcome to Crosstalk, where all things are considered. I'm Peter Lavelle. Wars are easy to start, but very difficult to end. Donald Trump is learning this the hard way. The American president is clearly looking for an exit from this conflict. His partner in this war is Israel. Israel has very different ideas. Crosstalking Peace Without Peace, I'm joined by my guest, Riad Jarrar, in Washington. He's Policy Director at Democracy in the Arab World Now. In Paris, we have Elijah Magnir. He is a veteran war correspondent and political analyst. And in Tehran, we cross to Hamid Reza Golamzadeh. He is Director of Diplo House. All right, gentlemen, crosstalk rules in effect. That means you can jump anytime you want, and I always appreciate it. Elijah, let me go to you first in Paris here. We're at day 95. This was supposed to be a walk in the park. It was supposed to be 72 hours max. The people of Iran should have already risen up and overthrown the government, and Donald Trump would have appointed his viceroy. It all went to nothing, and here we are right now. For the last, since the so-called ceasefire on April 8th, we've gone through so many iterations of what is being proposed. I see very little diplomacy. So where are we? Where are we? I'm titling this program Peace Without Peace, because that's what Donald Trump wants. He wants peace without making peace. Go ahead, Elijah.
Thank you for having me. Actually, it's very difficult for Donald Trump to acknowledge the reality of what's happening. So he started with everything that you just said, with what he called the regime change, and then the election to participate in the election of the Grand Ayatollah, the leader of the revolution, to take the Iranian oil, to destroy everything. And then now he is negotiating, but not only listening to what the Iranians are saying, but the Iranians are really not so in a hurry to talk to him, and they will certainly not make his life difficult, so easy. And the recent move of Iran, that was really the cherry that was put on top of everything. Iran threatened Israel if Israel bombs the suburb of Beirut, that they will bomb the north of Israel. That is so insignificant here, because it is sending a message to the Americans and the Israelis, we are ready to start another war. Yep. And they are very knowledgeable about fighting not only Israel, but the fight will certainly include the Americans. And they're not afraid, because if I want to be cynical, the best thing that happened to Iran is this war, because it has crossed all the red line. It showed that they can actually stand against the two most strong armies in the Middle East and in the world. They can survive and dictate their terms. This is where we are at.
I mean, I really like what Elijah had to say, because all through this conflict, particularly since the start of the so-called ceasefire, Iran has made it very clear, amply clear, crystal clear in what it wants. And from what I can tell, it has changed very little since then. And so it's, I would submit that Iran is just waiting for the Americans to use an American phrase, to wake up and smell the coffee. Donald Trump is cornered. He's not only cornered by bad decision-making, but he's cornered by his partner in this, Israel. Go ahead, in Tehran.
You know, the point is that Iran has been in negotiations with the West, and particularly with the Americans, for decades.
Yes.
And I can say for about two decades, Iran was in negotiation in order to prevent a military campaign against the country. But now that the last two rounds of negotiations with the United States have ended up into attacks against Iran, there is no further reasons that Iran would try to give up some points in negotiation table to prevent war. The last days has already been done, and Iran has survived that. So whatever would come is not stronger than what happened before, and Iran has tested it and has been living on. So Iran says that I am here, and I don't have any where any place to go. It's my country here. I am here. I need to defend myself. And I have tried all the things. And there is no further options on the table that would be more interesting to me compared to other issues. So the only threat was war, and they have done it. nothing more. So I would insist on what I want. And I consider myself, because of that, I consider myself the winner of the war. And that's something that everyone almost is admitting, that Iran has been the strategic winner of this fight and the Americans were the loser. So with that, Iran's insisting on what it wants and not going to give up many issues. There are some points that could be discussed, but all in all, it does not want to give up. And that's why Iran is setting the conditions for the negotiation.
Well, what's interesting,
the Americans, of course.
What's interesting about this conflict is that the United States and the West in general have they've gotten used to making their interlocutors talk about things that are important to them. What's important to them, and the United States has found itself flat-footed, is that, no, Iran wants to talk about other things. Other things are more important here, and they've got the cards, as the president would say. Let's go to Washington. Red, I think it's very interesting, it comes out in Western media in the most odd ways, but the rest of the world is watching this, and we see time and time again Israel has a veto here, and it seems that Donald Trump is incapable, or for reasons that we do not know, is that he's incapable of dealing with his junior partner here. And Israel is perfectly happy with that situation. Go ahead in Washington.
That's exactly the question. Here in Washington, D.C., we all wonder not about what's going on. We can all see it. What's going on is that Israel is calling the shots. But we wonder why and how. How does this junior country, a small country in the Middle East, is able to control this much decision-making in Washington, D.C.? And some of it makes sense when you think about the Israel lobby machine. Some of it makes sense. Some of it does not. Why do they have this much power to have influence over the president of the United States, to take him to a war that the United States does not need, that he personally does not want. But they will keep him in that war on and on and on. What we saw in the last few days and weeks was Israel trying to sabotage the ceasefire agreement over and over again by attacking Lebanon, by trying to come up with reasons for the United States to not finalize the ceasefire agreement with Iran. And unfortunately, they seem to be getting their way here and there. So what's going on is really a test, not between the relationship between the U.S. and Iran. This is a test of the relationship between the United States and Israel.
Well, you're absolutely right, because to all three of you, I mean, not only is this destroying or has destroyed Trump's presidency, it's starting to destroy the United States in the process here. These are questions that we need answers to. Elijah, one of the interesting things that I've been watching very carefully is Iran's very adroit diplomacy, dealing with the Russians, dealing with the Chinese, even dealing with the Gulf monarchies, which I'm sure they're not very happy to speak with Iran, considering what's happened to the American military bases on their territory. But nonetheless, they've made it very clear, Iran has made it very clear, that, hey, we're part of the neighborhood too, and we all have to live together. What kind of diplomacy is going on there? Because I'm sure it's far more fruitful than dealing with the Americans. Go ahead.
It's a calm but very determined diplomacy where the war is really speaking for itself, showing that the U.S. was incapable of defending its own bases and incapable of defending the Arab states holding these bases. As a matter of fact, the Americans did not ask the opinion of the Gulf countries when they went to war, because Donald Trump and Marco Rubio told us that they went to war because Israel was going anyway. So they've done that only for the Israelis, but not for their Arab partners, who paid more than $3.2 trillion just at the beginning of Donald Trump's mandate. Furthermore, the Arabs needed to pay for all the interception missile system that they have exhausted. And at the end of the day, we see the Americans still firing from Kuwait, for example, a few days ago, and the Iranian responding, not really feeling cold in the feet, absolutely not, launching ballistic missile on U.S. bases, or what remained of the U.S. bases, according to the New York Times and satellite images, that they have been destroyed. So the strong message is in different direction. First, China is delighted watching the superpower, the U.S., really not being able to defeat a 47 sanctioned nation, determined to fight back, and really gathering a lot of experience from the way the Americans are fighting, and giggling inside, saying, well, these are not going to fight us if they are incapable of defeating Iran. It's sending a message to the Arabs saying, well, your new partner must be perhaps Pakistan and Turkey, and Iran above all, because the Americans are not capable of defending themselves and defending you, and they are the source of the trouble. It's another message to Russia saying, actually, in Asia, we need to look after our own security, because the failure of the U.S. is the beginning of decline of the U.S. empire. That's a very strong message in many directions.
Well, one of the derivative elements of all of this is that all of the alliances that the United States has developed globally are in doubt right now. I mean, you know, if some of these anti-missile systems being withdrawn from like Japan or South Korea to be sent to defend Israel, I mean, that sends a very strong signal that when push comes to shove, the American commitment to keep you safe is quite hollow. And we're seeing this also with the way the Europeans are dealing with Trump's treatment of NATO. So all of this cumulatively has a knock-on effect. All right, gentlemen, I'm going to jump in here. We're going to go to a short break. And after that short break, we'll continue our discussion on peace without peace. Stay with RT. Welcome back to Crosstalk, where all things are considered. I'm Peter LaBelle. To remind you, we're discussing peace without peace. Okay, let's go back to Turan. Hamid, I'm very curious because, again, as I kind of pointed out on the first part of the program, is that the West is always expecting its opponent, its adversary, its enemy just to surrender. I mean, I think the Americans still have this mindset. You know, why don't they just surrender after all? We've destroyed the Navy. We destroyed this blah, 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 that we've heard this a thousand times. Is Iran going to take the initiative? I mean, if you have an interlocutor that you can't negotiate with, Iran still, it's incumbent upon Iran to protect its sovereignty and to move forward with its own foreign policy. As I mentioned in the first part of the program, it's very active on the diplomatic frontier. And as Elijah said in the very beginning of the program, Iran may take the initiative because Lebanon is very important to Iran, and is the only country in the region that stood up loud and clear for the Palestinians, I'd like to point out, okay? So, I mean, if there's a deadlock in Washington, Trump is just, you know, fumbling from one idea. Oh, we're going to have the Abraham Accords. I mean, what is this man talking about? Okay, at what point does Iran just say, you know, take the reins and say we're going to move forward because we don't have an interlocutor that we can communicate with? Go ahead.
Yeah, they say that all habits die hard, and the Americans were used to winning the wars, or let's say they're used to claiming winning the wars in the past, but. For the past two decades, after in this century, they started the endless wars, or forever wars, as President Trump once had called it, in Afghanistan and Europe. After that, the decline of American power, as Elijah just mentioned, actually started to appear, and more it was clear that this American power is in decline. The point is that the Americans, especially President Trump, with the kidnapping operation that carried out in Venezuela, was very hopeful and imagining that the same story could happen in Iran, and just a Hollywood-style operation would happen. And they go there, they kill people, and some superstar would go there, steal the enriched uranium from the nuclear facilities, and that there would be the ending music, and everyone would be happy with the ending of the movie. But when he came to the scene, they just realized on the very first day that the story is totally different. I would say that it was part of the dream that Israelis sold to the Americans in order to benefit from the American equipment to fight against Iran, and without paying that much price. So that's the way the Israelis are using and exploiting the American tax dollars and American forces. But when he came there, even during the first days and first weeks, he was not realizing that the situation is totally different from the dreams that he had been daydreaming. And if you remember, in the first couple of weeks, he was mentioning Venezuela, and he was saying that, okay, yeah, like Venezuela, we are going to finish the job and such things. But the reality on the ground is totally different. And the reason Iran made the war asymmetrical was to change the situation in its own favor and not in favor of the Americans. And that's where everyone in the world realized that the wars are not fought by the number of the navies or fighter jets or the equipments that you have. There needs to be a strategy behind that. And there needs to be other issues in this thing so that you can win a war. So it was the huge mistake President Trump made. And he needs to take the lesson sooner or later. And then he would realize that he has lost the war. Everyone is saying that. He has not believed yet. The empire has not believed that it is nude and it doesn't have any clothes on. But sooner or later, he would realize, because there are two options. Either he would reach an agreement in which Iran is not going to give up what it wants, or he needs to get back to the military campaign, for which Iran is ready and doesn't have any fear and have, in several occasions, signaled that it would be ready to
But I think there's one.
And he doesn't have any.
There's one more option that's been bandied about. Let's go back to our guest in Washington. Just walk away. Can he just walk away and declare victory? The greatest victory, you know, people are saying it's the greatest victory in history. That's very Trumpian. He could say that. Just walk away.
Mother of all victories.
Go ahead in Washington. Yeah, in Washington.
That is something that my organization has advocated for since day one. In just a few days after the beginning of the U.S.-Israeli war against Iran, one of the main calls that we have put over and over was that the United States should decouple its war and negotiations from Israel. The U.S. should negotiate a bilateral ceasefire agreement with Iran, the same way that President Trump negotiated a bilateral ceasefire agreement with the Houthis last year.
Yep.
And that agreement did not include Israel. And the Houthis and Israel continued
Right. You know, I've noticed in your answer here, you've fallen for the fallacy of what the real problem of this war is that myself and my guests, we always apply common sense. It's such a common sense approach. There is no common sense in any of this here. The whole idea of this war is absurd. Keep going.
That's right. It's not about common sense. It is about the fact that this president, President Trump, is not fighting for U.S. interest. It is not in the U.S. interest to go to this war. It's in Israel's interest. It's not in the U.S. interest. It's not in his personal interest to go to this war. So it is in the U.S. interest and in his personal interest to end this war immediately, reach to a ceasefire immediately. And as we have seen, you know, he's struggling to control Israeli actions. And honestly, my honest reading to this, that even in the case of a ceasefire, Israel will continue to sabotage this agreement on and on and on. And at one point, the United States has to put a line there, a line in the sand that says, this ceasefire agreement is between us.
Yeah, but we know what a ceasefire means is that the other guy ceases and we keep firing. That's a ceasefire, okay? Elijah, Trump should just walk away. Test that proposition.
He can't, because everybody today in America and outside America understand that the Americans have been humiliated in Iran, and that none of the objectives declared by the Americans and the Israelis have been achieved. This is why Donald Trump has less appetite to go to war against Iran again, and this is why he rushed insulting Benjamin Netanyahu to stop bombing Beirut, because he doesn't want to be dragged into a war with no objectives and nothing to really achieve in Iran. On the contrary, the damage to the Gulf is major. The damage to the U.S. with his partner in the EU and NATO, who abandoned him and said, we will go to the Strait of Hormuz after the war, not during. They don't want to have anything to do with it. And then he is left alone with the information from the Israelis saying that we can finish that in 3 days, and was happy with it. And now he's caught. He is begging the Iranians, because first you hear him saying, well, I don't care if Iran doesn't want to negotiate. And then he scolds Benjamin Netanyahu saying, stop. And then say, we have good negotiation with the Iranians. They are good people. Some other days they are bad people. He's not a politician. But even there, he can't get out because everybody around him was encouraging him to go to war. And, you know, defeat doesn't have many fathers. Victory has many fathers. And who's going to adopt this war in America? He has the World Cup. He has the midterm elections. He has the price of gasoline domestically. And he has the whole world telling him this is an unlawful war. We don't want to have anything to do with it. You have to finish it because you gave so much glory to Iran that Iran today, instead of Israel, is actually the superpower in the Middle East. So what have you done is completely turn the table on yourself and on Israel. This is why, to answer your question, it is impossible for Donald Trump to say, I won, because he's not convinced about it himself.
Well, I'm not sure what he's convinced of anything, reading his Truth Social posts. Let's go back to Tehran. I mean, where does Iran go from here? I mean, I don't know how it would look like. I don't think any of us have a clear idea how this is going to end. But a term does come to mind, and it's called a frozen conflict. Now, I think a frozen conflict could work, but there's a problem with that. The global economy is sinking. And this is the only reason, ultimately, I think, that Donald Trump is going to have to make a move one way or another, because the entire world is blaming the United States for a global turndown. And it's every day, it's a cumulative effect. It gets worse and worse. I mean, if this goes on for another 3 or 4 more weeks, there are many that are predicting a global depression. Go ahead. We have a minute and a half. Go ahead. In Iran.
Yeah, we are hearing the reports that by the end of June, there would be a difficult situation about the oil reserves across the country, especially in Europe and, you know, even the United States. And the economic pressure would increase significantly at that time. So that's the reason, actually, that Iran has tried to connect its own security to the security of the region and the security of the global economy in the Strait of Hormuz. And everyone would put pressure on President Trump to finalize the situation. He would give up in the negotiations, or he had to have the military option and again be defeated again, and then accept the defeat and accept Iranian terms, or he needs to just leave, as you asked in the previous question. But again, the world would pressure him in order to make some concessions. So, for example, Iran would want to have the sanctions removed, the blockade removed, and so that Iran would open the Strait of Hormuz. The point is that it is a will of war and a will of actually the resilience and the war of resilience. Iranians are more resilient toward the challenges and difficulties for the past 5 decades, and they are more able to stand against the sea blockade compared to the world Americans standing against the closure of the Strait of Hormuz and the high prices of oil and gas in the United States.
Well, we've run out of time, gentlemen, but I think we all have to remember, when you lose a war, there are consequences. And this is what Donald Trump is faced with right now. We'll see how it affects Israel. But gentlemen, I want to thank you for a fascinating discussion. I want to thank my guests in Washington, Paris, and in Tehran. And of course, I want to thank our viewers for watching us here at RT. See you next time. Remember, Crosstalk Rules.